Hi, and welcome to Stories of Climate Change Hope, the podcast that brings you a little bit of hope every other week. My name is Steffen Schwartmann. Today we listen to the story of Nele Wolfram. And yeah, she was a guest a couple of weeks ago, and she is studying in a master's degree in peace and conflict transformation in Innsbruck. She has been active in civil society since the age of 16. And today we want to touch upon an issue like, yeah, alternative ways of living and Nele's experience. So hi, Nele.
Hi, Steffen.
Really nice to have you back here. How have you been?
Yes, it's a pleasure. Yeah, I'm doing really well. We're just touching the second hard lockdown in Germany, and I think it's a good time to reflect upon alternative ways of living, and also my experiences as a digital nomad, as this whole pandemic brings a totally new perspective on this kind of lifestyle. It almost seems as if it's something of the past, as it's not possible right now, or not so easy right now to live this way. But I always think of those lockdown times as opportunities to think about the future and to make plans and dreams and lists of things to look forward to for better times ahead. So maybe this is a good time actually to talk about it.
Yeah, I think in a sense it's almost like now maybe we would all be ready. I mean, at least in the sense of that we know how to use all the digital tools, like now know how to live as a digital nomad, that we have the knowledge. But of course, I bet there are many, many challenges. And I wanted to ask you, like, what made you decide to go abroad and to live as a digital nomad?
Yes. So before my journey as a digital nomad, I lived in Berlin, and Berlin became too big for me. And I simply did not know where to live, what to do with my life. I had a job working self-employed in the field of political education. I did not want to study at that moment because I wanted to gain some more experiences outside of studies between my bachelor's and my master's. And I had a good time in Berlin personally, but also work-wise, having done an internship at the German parliament, but also working for the Foreign Office. I did not know where to go. I just knew Berlin is over for me at this point. To move away a bit of the atmosphere of this capital city. I also had the thought that back then I was 23 years old, that I'm young, I don't have a full-time job. I have the freedom to work wherever I want. And I don't have other commitments such as a family. So I wanted to make use of this freedom and just explore alternative ways of living to gain inspiration also for my work as a facilitator. Yeah, just make use of my freedom and educate myself further outside of conventional study programs.
Yeah, it's really cool that then from the initial thought, okay, now Berlin was a great time, but I want to see some other places and have some like a different experience between the bachelor and the master. And I find it super interesting and brave that you decided to, travel the world, but not just like travel, but still you were engaged and you were still kind of connected to your past as a facilitator and an activist in civil society. So when you went abroad, like, what did you plan? Or so your goal was to explore yourself and find out where you want to live, what you want to do. Or did you have like a plan? For example, your first station, your first location.
Yes. So I had the first location in mind, the first destination, that was Mexico and Guatemala. But after this, I did not know. I just knew that I wanted to continue living that way. And during traveling, I experienced that it's always good to just gather ideas. And then when it's time for you to take a decision and you will feel this momentum when you know, okay, now the ideas are ready to harvest, then you kind of go with the flow and pick the best idea from the tree of ideas that you have created during the travels, being it new inspiration, other people, invitations, or also just a calling. So the first destination was clear. It was Mexico and Guatemala, also because I wanted to explore how other communities and other cultures guide groups, how they experience and also facilitate community. And I heard a lot about the tradition and culture of indigenous people in Central America, Maya communities, and other communities in that area that worked with the medicine of cacao to guide groups and create community. And I wanted to educate myself a little further in that field and learn from other communities. So that's where I headed. But as you also mentioned before, I did not just simply want to travel and educate myself. I also felt like, okay, I'm traveling with a backpack, not only consisting of my things of daily need, and my laptop, but also with a bag full of methods, of workshop concepts that I could do anywhere. So almost everywhere where I went, I hosted workshops, a dreaming journey, and a flow writing exercise that goes more into the direction of creating a utopia, dreaming of how you want to live, how you imagine your ideal community, and to take those values and in the step of flow writing manifest it into your life today. So with this concept, with those tools, I went to Central America and also to other destinations afterwards. And already before, I used my internet community, social media community, to find locations and communities where to host those workshops. And those were wonderful ideas and connections that popped up through my network. And this was also how I planned my route a bit, my travel route, based on those groups that I could host a workshop for. Also for free, I did not want to charge anything, because I felt like as a traveler in this world, you consume a lot. Like, you consume all those impressions, the colors, the smells, the conversations. You consume a lot. But I did not want to live or to travel as a digital nomad in the way that I'm just consuming I also wanted to give something back, to have it more, a little bit more circular way of traveling, and also to to leave some impulses and host this framework of this workshop to make room for creation of impulses and make other people dream. Yeah, so with this concept in my bag, I traveled.
Yeah, I imagine that. I imagine it was very helpful that you had your online community and you could ask people, tell them about your plan, and then some of them offered to or suggest that you can come here and give your workshop. Yeah, I think that's maybe makes it also easier to make the decision where to go, because find it really difficult if you have all the options and you could basically anywhere, but then the people who you have already contact with, they are saying, yeah, you can come here. I think it's nice to already know then where to go. And I was wondering, when you gave your two workshops, what was the reaction? Was it something new to the communities you joined? And also in comparison, maybe between continents or countries, was it always something similar, the results and the thoughts that people shared, or was it also things that were completely different?
Yeah, so it was one workshop. Both the Dreaming Journey and the Flow Writing combined was one workshop. And yes, it's a workshop that's based very much on the own dreams and visions and manifestations. So for me as a facilitator, it's really hard to tell what the exact outcome was, because it's a very personal process. And the settings were very, very different. So, for instance, I hosted one workshop for an English class in the university in a university in Mexico, in Yucatan, and then I also hosted the same workshop for also just other travelers in Central America, but also for refugees from Syria based in Lebanon, and for political activists in Istanbul. So it was often a very, very different space to start to host this workshop. Here it's also at the beginning I thought it could be a challenge to have myself as a woman from Germany, a white woman from Germany, hosting this workshop in cultures that I have not really encountered much before, that I did not know much before, and I did not know if my Western Central European concept could actually apply to those other communities that experience totally different lives than I do in some cases. But most of the time it worked, and it was also nice to see to see that power of dreaming. We're really in the workshop, we were really dreaming, and dreaming outside of what is now is possible for anyone. This is what I learned. So also the refugees in Lebanon, they were also really grateful to have given the space to dream. For most of the time, the outcomes were similar, because they manifested really a positive world based on their own visions and values, how they want to live. Just in Istanbul, I encountered some troubles, some difficulties, because it was with political activists that just told me before the workshop that their prisons are being built right now because of the political circumstances in the country and their identification more as opposition to the current regime. And it was the weekend where the elections of the mayor of Istanbul were cancelled because a member of the opposition won those elections and the government cancelled or kind of, how would you say, disqualified the election. So it was a moment of despair and lost hope for those people in the workshop. And they really had a difficult time to dream because they were just telling me about the prisons that are being built. And so there was difficult. Maybe it was also just the time that didn't offer the best space. For the other outcomes, I had very similar feedback and often also some tears in the eyes when they imagine themselves living as a very old person, because in the dreaming workshop, in the dreaming journey, you travel at the end of your life and you create a utopia at the end of your life. And some people basically never thought of them before as a very, very old person. And just to be given this vision, or to have to be able to access that vision, was a common experience, I would say.
Oh yeah, it's difficult to imagine the circumstances that people were in when you were there. I wonder if it was still kind of possible when they joined in the dreaming journey. Was it still possible for some of them who were in difficult situations to find at least a glimpse of hope? Or how was it?
Yes. I hope so, that they could encounter some hope during the workshop.
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, I sort of also want to talk about how it made you feel. But it's difficult to phrase because I'm really interested, how it, the experience, if it changed you. Like, for example, when you made the decision you want to go abroad for a long time to give workshops, the feeling that moment, then when you met with these activists and had the workshop, and then basically the moment when you came back to Germany. I mean, it's a very, it might be difficult to answer, but how would you answer it?
So maybe also reflecting as a whole about my life as a digital nomad at the moment and those expectations. When I started those 18 months living as a digital nomad and how it was after. That's a really, really good question to ask, I think. Because my time as a digital nomad, those 18 months, it was really like a phase of my life with a beginning and an end. That also represented a huge learning journey for me personally. And I changed quite a lot. And also how I see myself, my needs changed, and how I see the world as well. Before I did not think about it too much. I felt the urge for some adventure and some learning. And when I was for some time, not only not only at the end, but also in between those 18 months, I came back to Germany for some time because I also had some work duties here to perform in the meantime. And when I came back after the first months, I was so excited about living as a digital nomad that I could not imagine living a different lifestyle. I was so happy with how everything went, about the freedom that I had. And then for my last part of being a digital nomad was a trip from Germany to Senegal in West Africa over land, where I had a little boat ride in between to go from Spain to Morocco, but everything else I did on land, because this is what I have to say on this podcast, Climate Change Hope, that also living as a digital nomad is maybe not always the most sustainable way of living, because I took the airplane to go from places to different places. But this is also what I reflected and did not like in the meantime, to have this part, this kind of unsustainable living style. So I said, okay, I want to avoid airplanes, and I will travel from Berlin to West Africa, just using public transportation, or different modes of transportation. And I encountered some difficulties on that journey, not only because I am a woman and traveling alone in some regions, also conflict regions in the West Sahara, and crossing the desert by myself was maybe not the best idea, because safety was not always guaranteed traveling alone as a woman. And then I had a really life-changing event in Spain just at the beginning of this year, because I found myself pregnant unexpectedly, and I started the journey as a digital nomad because I wanted to enjoy my freedom that I had, also because I did not have a family or a child yet. But then when I was all of a sudden pregnant, totally unexpected, I actually found out that my lifestyle as a digital nomad prevented me from starting a family, because I did not have a living community in Germany where I could go to. I was also pregnant from a person that's not in Germany and that cannot have access the same privileges as of passport, language, job opportunities as I had. So so actually my lifestyle as a digital nomad prevented me from starting that family. That was actually one of the that was linked to why I also went on this journey. So I had an abortion in Spain then, and I was very, very lucky that I was still in Spain. If I would have been a little bit more further south, where abortions are not allowed, then I would have really, really been in big trouble. So accessing those healthcare rights, especially on reproductive rights, while living as a digital nomad can be hard, and can really be a challenge. And realizing this, all of those things linked to my abortion experience, actually brought a totally new perspective on this way of living, and my needs automatically changed. I thought, okay, now I really need to go soon back to Germany to actually create a different lifestyle, a lifestyle where I could have a child if I would get unexpectedly pregnant again. So it was mostly this experience. Also the other experiences regarding to safety and my new needs that changed my perspective on the lifestyle as a whole, but completely as a whole. I still continued my journey to Senegal to visit a friend there and cross the Sahara. But I think it was 1 week after I touched ground in Senegal, all the borders were closed because it was March 2020 and the pandemic spread rapidly over the globe. And I found myself in a country that I did not know with closed borders. And a totally new different assets of needs that my life presented at that moment. So it was a huge challenge, and I did not lose hope, but it was a challenging situation. But luckily, a few weeks later, we were evacuated by the embassy and flown back to Germany. And I needed to be in Germany. Borders were closed. I could not go anywhere. But I also did not have a home to be in Germany. So I moved back in with my mom, which was also a really grateful circumstance to find myself in, because she had space and to host me there. But those two experiences, the pandemic and the sudden pregnancy, really, really changed my perspective on this lifestyle and also maybe the sustainability. So now I'm in a totally new mindset regarding the lifestyle as a digital nomad, because it's something good to do when you seek adventure and want to learn a lot, but not when you actually want to settle, want to have a stable community around you that can help you in moments of difficulty. And my needs for belonging, for community, for also stability and security, are needs that could not be satisfied if I would live as a digital nomad today.
Wow, what a journey. And also, I can only try to imagine like the emotions and feelings in between in these 18 months. And I guess you just described like the biggest challenges or surprises. I bet in these 18 months, I mean, there were probably so many experiences that it's probably not even possible to share in these like few minutes. And it's difficult for me because difficult kind of to grasp and understand and imagine what it's like to switch locations also so quickly and travel so such a long time, because I've been like in China for a year, but I've like always been to the same place most of the time. And I've volunteered for some organizations, like doing woofing, working on a farm, or going to a yoga ashram like for a few days or a few weeks, but never like a couple of months abroad and like covering different continents. So I think it's very brave. And so Nele, what would you tell someone who listened to this episode and thinks, wow, this is so amazing, like I want to do it too? And especially about like the practicalities, because I don't know how you maybe you saved money to finance the 18 months, or someone supported you, because I think that this is like a big issue, and also maybe, as you mentioned already, security. What would you tell someone who's thinking of doing the same?
Yeah. Yes. So I think there are a couple of things that you need to start living as a digital nomad. First of all, the definition of being a digital nomad is that you don't have a constant place where you live, where you're based, but you change locations, you travel now and then, but you also work at the same time. I think this pandemic helps to secure this this ground, because nowadays we can all access home office and digital tools to work more easily. And maybe there will be a shift also from the employer perspective after the pandemic. But yeah, first of all, you kind of first need a job where you can work on your computer. Yeah, luckily I had this opportunity. Yeah, being self-employed definitely helps, where you can decide for your by yourself when you will work, at what times of the day, what days. And I experienced myself that working full-time and living as a digital nomad does not work. Maybe working only 50% of what is today defined as a full-time job would be a better ground to start this lifestyle. Yes, because it's not, you cannot access internet that is fast enough everywhere. You can also not, when you're traveling, when you're changing locations, it's harder to work. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes not. So have the flexibility of your working culture. It's like the first thing. Actually, I was also in a situation as a project leader of Impulse Boost Camp, where I was in Turkey and I wanted to go back from Turkey to Germany, traveling over land, not taking the plane. But then we had, an unexpected high amount of applicants for this program, which I needed to supervise and to read through. We had 1,200 people applying for that program, and in the year before we barely had 100. So I simply decided, okay, I have to fly back to Germany to be more in one or two places where I can access internet all the time, where I won't be on buses and needing to change locations and find locations, where to sleep, where to go. So this was actually a moment where I said, okay, not for this month, where I have this much work to do, working probably more 50 or 60 hours a week, I cannot continue traveling. I need to find a more stable location. So I went back to Germany, where I found those circumstances, and I was based there for a month then. And also coming back to your question, probably another requirement is also having the privilege of traveling. I'm privileged in the way that I have a German passport, one of the passports that is is granted a lot of rights to access countries without visa, without experiencing troubles at the border, crossing borders. So for me, it was really easy to choose where to go, but this is not the case for every passport in the world. So I think you kind of need to choose your locations and where you go to, and where you could fulfill this dream of living as a digital nomad based on your passport. You need to explore the situation beforehand. And then money is definitely also an issue. I was lucky enough to have, I worked before a lot. So I had some savings, and I also worked while traveling, and I was monthly paid also by my employer. And I could sustain myself through those savings and through my work while traveling. Yeah. And then, of course, you need the vaccines if you want to go to certain places that have health restrictions. Language is a big point. I would not have been able to travel to Senegal without speaking French. Already alone as a woman, this was a challenge, and I would not recommend any woman to travel this route by herself. But if I would have been a woman and not spoken French, probably my backpack was stolen, but I got it back through my skills of speaking French. I managed the situations crossing the West Sahara conflict zone because I spoke French, was able to talk to engage with the people, the locals. So for some routes, and I can also speak Spanish, so I could kind of guide my way through Mexico and Guatemala more easily. Also choose your destination based on your language skills, and maybe also use this opportunity if you're if you want to strengthen your language skills, then do that while traveling. This is also possible. My Spanish was not so good when I first went to Mexico, but already a few weeks later I had my vocabulary lists. I could have easily 1-2 hour conversations with the people in Spanish, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, so I guess the takeaway here is, first, if anyone is interested in doing something similar, of course, trying to travel by public transportation, by bus, by train. First of all, wait until the pandemic is over, and this could still be a couple of months until it's like safe to travel globally. And also, plan in detail, I would say. As you have said, Nele, there are just so many things one needs to take into account and really think about. Yeah.
Yes. And also make time for planning. That's a good point that you mentioned, because it takes up more time than I expected to plan where do I go next? Where do I sleep next? All those questions, just the logistic questions, require some time of your day, also your working day.
Yeah, almost coming at the end here now that when we are recording this, it's now, today is December 14th, and I'm also already thinking, about this year. It was challenging, and with regards to alternative ways of living, I'm also thinking, what is kind of what did 2020 give me, like, positively? And I wanted to share, like, for me, it's sort of this experience I made that it's so important to focus on my needs before I go out there and help others as a volunteer. Like, when I'm really happy and satisfied, then it's much easier to spread love and be kind to others. So, like, for me, this was like exploring what I like in my free time. Like, I discovered that I really like to move with my body, like dancing, but not like, just like being a little bit crazy and just dancing to music, like in between, just a few minutes, or jump around, or read to myself, and have basically every day these little things that really make every day worthwhile. Although maybe my studies or my work is complicated, is difficult, but that I still every day have something that I like and enjoy. And I wanted to know, Nele, what was it for you? Is there something like something that you learned from your experience from this year, or something you would like to share?
Oh, wow. This year was filled with a lot of different experiences and quite life-changing experience. So I need a moment to think about that. Maybe a learning would be that it's okay to change. It's okay to change your perspective to maybe a quite opposite angle. That it's okay that needs change. That we are not the same person as we were last year, and we don't need to be. We evolve, and there are ups and downs, and that there also will be better times when you're really down, and that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to share openly your story, also the hurtful stories, because also in pain and in the hurt, we're not alone. People everywhere around the world experience similar challenges and feelings, maybe more feelings than challenges. And that through sharing, through asking for support, through just sharing your vulnerability, showing your vulnerability and who you are, you can find healing and create connection, not only for yourself, but also for your community. Yes, that's it.
Thank you, Nele. Thank you for speaking to me today.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Steffen. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's end this episode by saying that we want to commit ourselves to the healing of our world and our society. We want to bridge gaps and decrease the separation inside society and between us and our environment. We can do one part by leading conversations about climate change and talk about our personal story. We want to do so by acting responsibly and respectfully, even when it is challenging. We will support others in their part and ask for help when we need it. And we will spread a little bit of hope every other day. Goodbye, Nele. Talk to you soon again.
Yes, goodbye, Steffen. Thank you.
And thanks for everyone for listening, and tune in soon again. Bye-bye. Thanks goes to Coco for the creative support and the logo design. And also thanks to Vulcan Recorder for the music contribution. You can listen to the podcasts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and all other podcast distribution apps on your phone. The next episode will be released in 1 week or 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.